You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, everybody? This is Raised in the Woods. My name's Joel Clayfish. This is Ellie Lawton, co-host of the show and chef extraordinaire. We get to bring you the best of the outdoors, help you figure out how to use it, how to bring forage and food to the table from the woods and the cornfields of the great states of the Midwest. This show's on Civic Media in five states: Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa, every Saturday at 11 o'clock. I cannot tell you how fun doing this show is. And if you missed...
Even when I'm here?
Well, yeah.
You're always here.
Especially when you're here. I mean, yes, when you're here. I mean, you carried last week's show and it was awesome. We had such an awesome guest.
My back still hurts.
That's funny.
She came in with a little walker.
I'm just scooting around my walker with the little tennis balls on the bottom.
Well, that is
honestly
fitting.
When I am like 80 and I'm out in the woods hunting, I'm gonna have a souped up camo walker. It's gonna be great.
I have said that when I am old, if I end up in a wheelchair or something, it's gonna be camouflage. That's my
Mine's
favorite color.
Mine's
gonna
have little snack packs all over it.
I'm certain of that.
Megan's gonna be trailing behind me with hers.
You know, I have.
Well, I want one with the tracks.
Oh yes, track chairs. Yeah, for sure.
Well, you can buy it, and you can put little pegs on it.
You can use them for free. A lot of state parks have them, and you can rent them.
I'm pretty sure they have them for hunting available too, because they have ones that you can go from a sitting to standing position
to be able to
upland hunt.
Yes. Joel is heavily involved in that.
We went straight in.
Yeah, sorry.
We got to reel it back.
I love the fact that you brought this up, because the state of Wisconsin, I had the pleasure of working on the bill that made sure that people with disabilities who are in high-level wheelchairs had access to the standing component of that, of those
That's
wheelchairs.
Wonderful.
And so now there are track chairs for use for folks with diverse abilities to be able to get into the outdoors and to even stand them up to be able to participate. So one of the important things to the show and in my life is making sure folks with disabilities have the same opportunities as everybody else.
It's wonderful.
And I get to work for the A-Team, which is we have an outdoor adventure series. So we get to bring folks with diverse abilities into the outdoors, fishing and hunting and shooting. And we've done that. And that is incredibly satisfying and a fantastic aspect of the growing nature of people using the outdoors, which is super, super cool. Well, we had a guest last week that was so fascinating. We talked her into coming back this week, and she's here with a friend of the show as well. And Shelby Christensen is here, and Ashlyn Whitting is here, and I want to talk to them. We've got Sarah Marinas, our homesteader, and, of course, Megan, the sommelier pirate. Our sommelier is along for the ride as well. And hello to her lover, Dave, who could not be here today, who is on the road. Megan, why are you shaking your head?
Because he's always on the road now.
Yeah,
so
Dave,
he is on the road.
Jeez,
quite
Dave.
A bit.
He was pretty upset the other day, though, that it didn't post right away and he had nothing to listen to.
Ooh. Oh, well, it is posted now. And if you do miss the show live Saturdays at 11 o'clock, you can check out the podcasts where, Chef Lawton?
Spotify, Apple, and civicmedia.us.
Perfect.
You can go back and get all of our good recipes, or if you're driving along and just kind of having a crummy day, turn on any of the shows and you'll laugh.
You will definitely laugh at us. You will definitely laugh. We have fun on this show. I have a blast, and I'm honored to be able to sit in the co-host chair with Chef Lawton and do these shows, because bringing people who may be inexperienced into the outdoors is fascinating to me. It's one of the things that drives me when I get up in the morning. And I don't say that lightly. It really does. Taking folks who have not had the opportunities to use the outdoors of these great states and introducing them to a part of life that is in three dimensions now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a cell phone. It's not a video game. It's real. And it ends up with food on your table and jewelry, as Shelby Christensen was telling us about. And one of our guests today, I'm really excited about talking to, because Ashlyn Whiting is brand new to hunting.
Yes.
And this is what I want to talk to her, because this is what we talk about when we want to talk about if you're not experienced or you don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. Ashlyn, you have literally used those programs that are in place to take someone who knows absolutely nothing about the outdoors hunting aspect of it, and you've used that to become a seasoned hunter.
Yes, I am so, so grateful for those programs. Absolutely.
Which programs have you used? So our listeners have an idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I started with the WWA Women's Learn to Waterfowl Hunt. I've taken a Learn to Turkey Hunt very recently.
Oh, awesome.
Did you get one?
I haven't gone out for turkey yet. I go this weekend.
Oh, how exciting.
I'm so excited about it.
Well, that's got to be your wild of the week then, coming up, that you're going to hit the turkey turkey blind.
I'm going to nail a turkey.
Heck
yeah. This weekend, okay?
I love that positive attitude. Yes. That is awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit later about how Ashlyn got involved, how you went from, formerly you were a vegan, actually.
Yes.
And you transitioned into hunting and eating wild game and all sorts of stuff. That's going to be super exciting.
Yeah, that is going to be a fascinating topic. And one of the things we try to do on Raised in the Woods is come up with things you might not have heard before. And we have got a show full of that. And I want to talk about Ashlyn's transition from being vegan to actually being the person who harvests her meat and eats it. That's fascinating to me. I want to know, how old are you? I know I'm not supposed to ask that. But
that's okay.
Whoa. It's you want me to punch him for you?
No, I'm good.
Would not be the first time.
I'm super happy to talk about it. I'm 31.
Okay. And you got into hunting when you were?
29.
So that's not very long ago. What was it in your mind, in your life, that flipped that switch for you and you decided, I am now going to learn and become a hunter?
Well, it all started when a girl met a boy.
Oh.
See, she has a lover too.
She has a lover.
I've got a sweetie.
She took a lover.
I did, yep.
All right. Well, so Ashlyn's lover was a hunter?
Yep. So okay. He is originally from Colorado.
Okay.
He is an avid outdoorsman, hunter, fisher, you name it. And, when we met, we're like, how are we going to make this work? I am very, very strict vegan. We have separate cooking pots and utensils.
Oh boy.
And this man is like watching hunting videos in the house with me. How are we going to do this?
Did that lead to some arguments?
It did. Absolutely. And that's, I will say, is actually what, brought me into hunting.
The arguments and the debate over it.
Yeah. So I said,
Now, did he move on the spectrum whatsoever? Because we all know men don't listen.
Absolutely not. No.
Yeah. No. I couldn't have answered that for you. I don't even know her lover.
I'll give him the credit that he really does enjoy his vegetables. That's for sure. But no.
On the side of the meat, though.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-mm.
And so how did you how did that come together? How on earth did you take complete polar opposites? At least now, were you philosophically opposite each other as well?
No.
No. So you had similar philosophies, political philosophies. You had enough things in common. But when it came to eating, you were on opposite sides of the spectrum.
Okay.
Yes.
I need to stop for a second because my brain is hurting right now. I need to ask some questions. I want to turn this into couples therapy for a minute.
Let's go.
So you guys, you meet, you go on your first date. Obviously, you being a strict vegan comes out on your first date. You discuss it on your first date, I'm assuming, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he's a hunter, I'm assuming eats his wild game, all sorts of stuff. That is so intriguing to me that you two even decided to have a second date, because I've known people that are similar, and they're like, oh God, I can't stand him. He hunts, or he's a vegan, or she's a vegan, or a vegetarian, whatever, because a lot of times people from those, I don't know, those groups, I guess you'd say, don't technically get along well. And so just...
Was this an opposites attract?
How did that work?
It was, because I think that vegans and hunters actually have parallel missions that at some point...
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, I try to say that all the time.
Yes,
oh my God, I love that you said that, because you are so right. And the problem is that both are butting heads over it when they're missing the whole point that they're on the same mission and they want the same things. Oh my God, I love that you said that. This is so exciting. We could talk. I just want to talk about this for like an hour.
I love this topic.
So if you want to kind of walk us through how that developed, because that's a huge thing. Like, for two people to be like, hey, I'm a strict vegan. Like, we're using separate pots and pans, and you have your boyfriend, your significant other saying, I hunt, I eat my wild game. I mean, how does that develop?
I will give a lot of the credit to Mediator and Stephen Ranella.
Really?
We were just at the Mediator store for the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association meeting the other day.
Yeah.
Megan and I were. And to be transparent, I am the government affairs director for the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, but they're a phenomenal organization in recruiting and retention of hunters. So he got you to start watching Mediator.
He was watching Mediator, and I happened to walk in the room and witnessed a buffalo just drop in the middle of a field. And
did you just go up to him and slap him?
Oh, no, no, no. No, I started sobbing, and I was like, how can you do this? And he's like, but you have to consider, this animal has lived a perfectly full life.
Free, wild.
Free,
yes, wild, and
wild
free.
Eating the most organically sourced food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that vegans on that same end are like, I want everything to be, you know, healthy, and I want to
organically sourced.
Yeah, organically sourced. And he's like, can you tell me where your salad is from, though? But can you tell me where your meat substitute is from? And I'm like, I guess not.
Good point. Oh, man.
He's like, I really want to introduce you to this.
So he's not just some big dumb guy.
No, he really went about it in such a good way. He's like, if you're interested in seeing like my point, aside from just being, you know, this hard headed, like, oh, I'm such a heavy vegan, I'm doing so good by these animals, if you want to learn, I'm happy to show you what this is.
Well, and he's a chef also, right? He's a cook.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. He is a wonderful cook. I'm very lucky.
So you both had calm, educated discussions about, hey, here's where I am. Here's where I am. I'm sure they're not all calm, because I wouldn't speak calmly about any of that from either side. Yeah. That's so fascinating. I love that.
Did it ever get to like... Early on in the dating, did it ever get to like you almost broke up over it?
No. We are kind of...
You just liked him too much.
I did. I liked him so much that I actually sent him home on our first date. I got so nervous. I was like, my mom's coming into town, so you got to get out of here. And I called him when he was on his way home, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I lied. I really like you. Can you please come back? And he's like... I'm like an hour and a half away. No, but I can come back next weekend.
He's like, man, these vegans are crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Definitely.
Well, this is a fascinating topic. And I love the fact, Ellie, that you brought it into the realm of
dating. Well,
because
I have to know. I need the origins of the story.
I
want to
talk more about that. We're going to get into our Wilds of the Week on the crest of turkey season. And I promise you, we're going to get to our recipe this week. We ran out of time last week. Our sommelier, Megan Salazar, is going to tell us how to put some booze in it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is Raised in the Woods, your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great Midwest. My name's Joel Clayfish, hosting this rock and roll ride along with Chef Ellie Lawton.
You mean this couples therapy session?
It has kind of turned into a couples therapy session with our guest today. Ashlyn Whitting is here, and she's brand new to hunting. But I think more fascinating than that, she was a vegan before she became a hunter. And we're going through her relationship.
My timeline.
Probably a little more personally than we should be. But that's okay. We don't have many boundaries on this show.
So I think I've processed the relationship part of it, but I want to take a step back. Can you tell us about becoming a vegan? I mean, were you always a vegan? How did that transpire?
No. So I was born in Virginia. Mm-hmm. On the coast,
love Virginia.
Yeah. Low country boils, a lot of ham, a lot of seafood, lots of crab legs.
Oh, gosh, you're speaking my language.
Yeah, that's kind of my realm for sure. The first time that I stopped eating meat, I went pescatarian because I'm like, I can't give up crab legs. That's not happening.
Okay, so you were selective in the animals you thought you were saving.
Yes. Yeah, I was in my teenage years. I was like, I'm going to change the world with this. Like,
Megan, you could be a pescatarian.
I could be a pescatarian.
Yeah, you certainly could.
Megan Salazar loves, I could I too, love I fish. Think. I love
seafood. You have a little drool on your mic. I want to wipe it off.
That doesn't surprise
I'll
me.
I'll tell you what, though. Old Bay tastes good on anything.
Oh, yes, sure it does. Absolutely.
It sure does. Yep.
Okay, oh so you went pescatarian.
Gosh,
yeah, so a pescatarian. And then one day my aunt was cooking a ham steak, and I was like, I need a bite of that. That's what I need. So went back to eating meat for a few years. And then I was vegan. I think I went vegan 5 or 6 years, and then started eating meat again during my second pregnancy.
Okay.
Okay.
In the COVID times of 2020. And the ham steak got me again.
Wow. Yeah.
You were craving ham steak during your pregnancy.
It was the ham steak.
It wasn't pickles. It was ham steak.
It was ham steak. That sugar cured ham.
Oh, yeah. Well,
who doesn't
good.
Like mm-hmm. that?
Yes.
Yep. I'm pregnant with a food baby, and I love that.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you're naming it Sugar Ham?
Sure.
Okay. I needed to know that. So now, jumping forward, you met your significant other. Yep. You guys fell madly in love.
Yes.
He's a big time outdoorsman and hunter.
Did you fall madly in love while you were still vegan?
She said the first date.
Yeah.
Oh, it was love at first sight.
It was love at first sight.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we knew.
I love this. I'm a sucker for romance. I really am.
We told each other the second time, that second weekend we saw each other, we're like, this is it for me. Like, whatever you want to do, I'm here.
Did you say the L word?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we loved each other.
Good for you.
This is the vegan hunter version of The Notebook unfolding before our eyes.
I love this.
And this is a room full of women. We're all getting kind of, whoa, this is great.
Don't exclude me from that. I think
you
this
have
is
your
absolutely
tissue in your hand.
Romantic as well. My gosh, we're talking about food and romance.
Oh,
this is as good as it gets.
Oh, I love
this
story,
though. This is the best
story,
day of my
though.
Life.
So now tell us how, like, when you started hunting, with him, I'm assuming, right? Tell us how that happened.
So my first, I guess you would call it a hunt. I mean, I had Blaze Orange on, and we were in the plains of Colorado, and we were determined to get an elk.
Oh,
boy.
First.
Wow.
That's ambitious. Yeah, that's ambitious.
Yeah. Wow.
We're like, we're going elk or
did
nothing,
did you have cow
baby.
And bull tags?
Yep.
Okay.
Wow.
Over the counter. I think it was like $10 for us because we lived in Colorado at the time.
And had he already gotten an elk?
No.
Okay. So this was a first for both of you.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It was so cute. I had a little baby strapped to my back. And
oh, my gosh.
We took the baby.
We took the baby.
Oh,
gosh. We did.
Wow. I love this.
Yep.
This is a good. Did you
so
get
what happened?
Elk? No. The only thing that we got to see were massive tumbleweeds.
Okay.
And no elk.
Okay.
Well, now that could have gone along with your pre-vegan days. You could have gotten a tumbleweed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not too sure how great that would have tasted.
I don't think she was gnawing on tumbleweeds.
I don't know.
No, no.
Do they taste good though?
I have no.
I'm gonna guess.
You know
not.
What? I think you and Megan could figure out a way to eat tumbleweeds. Yeah.
Well,
right?
I mean, there is a lot of sage there. So.
Oh, that's and true. That's why the meat tastes so good,
right?
Because the animals are eating the sagebrush all the time.
I actually
it's
agree with
so
that.
So delicious.
I think that's one of the reasons the antelope are so good.
Yeah.
So you started out, your first hunt was an elk hunt. Man, that is a great story. So then what? Where'd you go from there?
Yeah. So at that time, I had also never shot a gun ever.
Okay.
So we kind of drove, you know, to the country a little bit, and we decided that we're going to try shooting. I cried my way through it, but I fired a shot.
I don't think some people realize just how, and I don't want to use the word violent, but it is kind of a violent experience
it's
the first
jarring.
Time you shoot. It's mm-hmm. a jarring. That's a better word.
Yes.
It's jarring. It's loud.
Yep.
The kick, the recoil to the shoulder is tough your first time because
you
it's
don't
never
have any confidence
correctly.
When you start out shooting because you don't. It's the unknown, right? We're always afraid of the unknown,
and that's why
absolutely.
I always tell people start with small calibers and work your way up.
She went out with a 50 cal first time,
probably.
Just probably
she's shooting a 50 BMG for the first time. Boom.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So you did some shooting. You got more comfortable with the firearm.
Nope. Not at all.
Okay.
I cried my way through every single shot over the course of the next couple years.
Wow.
I was terrified.
But you didn't give up.
I didn't give up. I persevered.
So you actually, you wanted to, even though you were crying your way through it, you wanted to.
I wanted to.
To be fair, she's a very slightly framed person.
Yes.
I mean, that's the best way I can come up with saying it. She's tiny.
Yeah, she's no bigger than a small tumbleweed.
Thank you.
Shooting a large caliber gun, it takes a little. There's meat in that. I'm so fascinated by this. We're going to continue talking to that. We're going to get back to Shelby Christensen, who collects roadkill and makes art and jewelry out of it.
Yep, I love this.
I'm not making it up. Both of those are in the same show. And of course, we're going to have our recipe of the week with Chef Lawton and sommelier Megan Salazar. We've got Sarah Marinas, our homesteader, who's here to chip in as well. This is Raised in the Woods. This is Raised in the Woods. My name is Joel Clayfish. I get to host this show, and I always think to myself, there can't possibly be something that I have not heard of before. And we've got guests today, one we brought back from last week, who literally started her own personal taxidermy and creating jewelry out of dead animals by harvesting roadkill.
And now
is an avid hunter and some fascinating stuff. Shelby Christensen is here.
Every time I see roadkill now, I will think of Shelby. And it's not in a bad way at all.
Not in a bad way at all. And Chef Lawton, of course, has her recipe of the week this week. You can listen to Raised in the Woods on your civic media stations in Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa, 14 of them. Our show is growing. We're getting more feedback. Our Facebook page is blowing up. We gained over 500 new followers. And on that, the goal of that is to give you insights into the outdoors. You can go on there and see pictures from the wonderful hunt I had with my goddaughter. You can even watch the video of her first turkey harvest, which is very exciting. But we're talking to Ashlyn Whitting, who was a vegan and became a hunter. Now, that's like two massive steps in one. And
it's a great story, too.
In part because we hear on this show, we talk about Megan's lover. Well, it was Ashlyn's lover who got her to come to, first of all, it's really is a beautiful love story to begin with.
Yeah, it really
love
is.
Love at first sight between a vegan and
a hunter.
Meat-eating hunter.
We could be a Taylor Swift song.
That
honestly,
could be
yeah.
a Taylor Swift yeah. song.
Seriously.
Although, I'm going to like your ending better than a Taylor Swift song ending, because hers go off the rails once in a while. But
so do we.
Yeah, that's true. We do. We definitely do. But I want to ask a question. So, Ashlyn, you were a vegan. You met your significant other, who was a hunter, and then I want to know at what point his influence or your influence or what you decided to do flip that switch to, you know what, the right thing to do is responsibly harvest and eat those proteins.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say sitting out with him a few times is...
In the blind,
yep.
So you were so smitten with him, you, even though this wasn't something you thought you agreed with philosophically, you wanted to spend the time with him that badly.
Yeah, I mean, I love him and I care about him and I'm invested in his life and his activities and it's something that he's passionate about. So yeah, of course I want to try it.
That's beautiful.
And so was there a moment, was there a God moment that you switched your mind or was it gradual?
I would say it started out gradually and being a part of the women's Learn to Waterfowl Hunt is what flipped my switch on to do this for myself.
Mm. Okay.
I love that. Yes. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Tell us your experience with the women's waterfowl hunt to start.
Yeah. So I had a good friend of mine reach out to me and say, hey, there's this women's hunt that's going on in the fall this year. And, you know, with us kind of both being new to this, I think this would be something that you would really enjoy. You should just apply. So I applied and I was like, okay, let's see what happens. And I get an email saying, you know, you've been selected to do this. And here's what it's all about. We attended some really, really helpful classes over the course of a couple months. And we drove out to Trempealeau, which is probably the most beautiful place that I have ever seen in Wisconsin.
It is so Trempealeau beautiful. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We met everybody and had our range day first, which I was a little scared of.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't really shot very many shotguns at all. But we met with this amazing instructor and I had a room full of other women who were like, hey, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I know you can do this.
And the I think, Oregon-
oh, go ahead, Joel.
No, I think shotguns are a little more forgiving than rifles. They're not quite as much of a hammer to the shoulder, especially like a 20 gauge or one of the lighter gauges.
They're not as much of a hammer, but I think the problem that they encounter with it is now you're shooting at flying objects.
Yep.
Right.
Which is totally different sitting there shooting at a standing item.
Yeah,
so.
You can't just sit there and, you know, really slow your breathing down and have that like steady aim and soften up a little bit and have that focus initially.
No, it's all instinctive.
Right.
It is. Yeah. It is. The other part of it was I had learned that I was a different eye dominance. So I'm just getting hit with like new experiences.
So you're right-handed, but left eye dominant.
I'm left eye dominant. Yeah.
So you had to learn how to shoot left-handed.
I did have to learn.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you,
it was awesome.
You discovered that at the Learn to Hunt.
Yes. Yep.
These Learn to Hunts, for all of our listeners that are like on the edge of like, oh, should I do this? Should I not? I don't know where to start. Do these Learn to Hunts. They're so wonderful. Megan, I know you just came off your second year mentoring at the Trempealeau. Third.
Yeah, I'm going into my fourth year now. So
I did it 1 year and I loved it. I mean, the organizers of the event is fantastic.
Well, I'm the organizer now too.
Yeah. Megan,
there
you're
you
fantastic.
Go. So if you pay attention to the show and you want to try one of these Learn to Hunts, you know, step outside of your comfort zone a little bit.
Yes.
I cannot stress that
and
enough.
And the other people that are attending it, they're in the same boat as you are.
Right.
So
it is, I've never seen a group of women support each other more than at those events because you don't find that. You don't find the camaraderie. You don't find the support. You're all in it together, whether you're a mentor or a mentee. Everybody comes together. It's a great, great event. Megan, you should throw up the instructions on the Facebook or the link to get involved in those because they're so fantastic. And yes, you have to apply because there's only a certain amount of spots and they're so wonderful. I mean, they fill up every single time because
people, we have a wait list for a couple of years.
People are catching on that they're so great. And don't let the wait list discourage you because there are other opportunities out there too. We'll maybe talk about a little bit of the trap camp, Shelby, that you attended. if we have time. This is, we just have so much to talk about.
Yes, but I'm going to encourage you, if you want to get in touch with Megan to learn about these Learn to Hunts, reach out on our Facebook page. Our followings are growing exponentially. Go to Raised in the Woods Facebook page. You can see what we're doing. You can hear snippets of the show. And you can, sorry, Megan, reach out to Megan Salazar.
Well, and it's not just if you're a new hunter or wanting to get into hunting. We need experienced mentors too.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
And you can hear from Ellie and Megan talking about it, how satisfying it is to be a mentor. Yes. And to bring people into the outdoors. And I can tell you, having taken dozens of mentored hunters, in fact, I'm really, really excited right now. We've got so much going on. We didn't even do Wilds of the Week, but I'm going to throw mine in real quick. Nels Rude has never hunted a turkey in his life, and I am taking him out tomorrow morning. So I'm really excited about that. We've been scouting together, and boy, it's about the best way you can spend time, and it's not in mm-hmm. front of a television. It's not in front of the 3x7 that everybody's got glued to their hands these days. It's in three dimensions with fresh air. I will tell you, watch out for the ticks, though. They are out there. Ashlyn, I can't. This is such an inspirational story. And not everybody's going to have a significant other, a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife who's going to take them and drag them into the outdoors.
Yeah.
But hearing you go from somebody who was opposed to eating meat to begin with, to understanding the gravity of taking the life of an animal and putting it on your table is fascinating to me.
And Ashlyn had her first harvest, and I want to hear the story to kind of bring this full circle.
Yeah, so I've actually had a really big year of firsts. I was able to successfully harvest my first goose, which was
so fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We were in Kenosha County hunting out at Bong. And I just said, you know what? It's my time. So I pulled the trigger, made a great shot, brought it home. I cried, of course.
Yes.
Sobbed my way through it.
It's very emotional.
It's very emotional.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I then was able to successfully harvest my first deer this year as well.
Congratulations.
Beautiful doe. We were sitting out in the blind and, you know, it was a beautiful morning. And if you've been hunting, I feel like sometimes you just get that feeling. Like today is going to be the day.
Yes, yes.
Sun's coming up. Everything's beautiful. And I was like, you know what? I feel good. I feel confident. I'm going to take a shot if something walks my way.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect broadside, picturesque doe. My husband was sitting there with me, and he's like, all right, when you're ready, you can pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, immediately.
Yes.
I was like, let's go.
What a good supportive hubby.
Yeah.
I love that.
He's wonderful.
And he's been there with you every step of the way, which is so fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I've had that experience a little more elevated than that from the anticipation standpoint. I had a hunter. Mm-hmm. I had taken her for her first hunt ever, and she said, I really don't know if I can aim at something and pull the trigger.
Yeah.
And I said, you don't have to.
Right.
Don't worry about it. Well, that the turkey, the tom showed up about 500 yards away on the corner of the gun, and she or on the corner of the field, and she just about tackled me to try to get to the gun and ask if she could shoot yet. And I said, just slow down.
Yep.
But I think instincts take over when you realize you have the ability to put something on your family's table.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't done it, go along. And if you don't feel comfortable shooting, don't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of all there is to it. I want to talk, Shelby Christensen is here. We brought her back from last week because it's so fascinating what she does. She makes jewelry and artistic pieces out of metals and parts of animals. She started with roadkill, and then she moved into hunting and harvesting her own things.
Such a great story.
And what I want to know is, when you are that's creative to me. That's really creative. What's next for you in that realm?
I'm still trying different techniques, learning different things. My electroforming setup, I still got to get it up and running again this year, so I'm putting some stuff together. Since I started trapping a year after I began hunting. When I was in college, there was Fish and Wildlife Club, and they said, we're going to take a field trip to take trapper safety.
Cool.
And
trapping, awesome.
trapping was something that I wasn't quite sure about compared to hunting. I had still the thing in my mind of like the bear traps or something.
Right.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
But I ended up learning a lot and realizing, oh, this is a viable harvest. Yes, you use sometimes just the fur, but there's a lot more of the animal you can use too.
Mm-hmm.
I use those bones. I have a colony of dermestid beetles in my garage that
that's awesome.
They
name
work
the beetles.
To. There are too many, far too many to name. But they are cleaning those skulls, and they're very good for smaller things too.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll be able to clean something detailed down to a squirrel skull, all the raccoons, beavers, things like that. But you can take the bones. I will dry the feet, use the pelt, obviously, and the meat is pretty good.
Wow. Heck yeah, I think raccoon's delicious. You've heard about it on the show.
Yeah, raccoon's fantastic.
You tried coyote. Said
not
it wasn't
as good.
Your favorite,
not
but
as
still,
good.
Kudos to you for trying that. I'm really excited to talk about how folks can get into this. When and we're going to talk a little bit about that, but the fact that you take your animals and you're literally utilizing every part of that animal is an aspect of the outdoors that I so love, because I think that it really stresses the ethical nature with which conservationist hunters, and hunters are conservationists, really find important. So I certainly appreciate that, but I'm jacked. We still got our recipe of the week with Megan Salazar, our sommelier, and Chef Lawton. And we're going to tie up Shelby Christensen and let you know how you can take animal parts and make them into jewelry and art. This is Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Here on Raised in the Woods, you never know what you are going to hear. We've had segments about love turning people
aww
from vegan into harvesting and hunting in the wild. We are talking to Shelby Christensen, who literally started out collecting roadkill. I think that made me a little nervous when we started going down that road.
It didn't make you hungry?
No pie. You know, I do love eating everything. I eat almost everything that I kill. I can't think of something that I kill that I haven't tried, up to and including iguana and raccoons. And Shelby makes this beautiful art. You got to go to Raised in the Woods Facebook page, follow us, and take a look. We're going to have photos of her copper plated art that is made from the bones and pieces of animals, which is fascinating to me. And kudos to you, Shelby, for stretching the extent of the ethical nature of using your harvest. I want to know, how do people get into something like this? It seems like it's so tangential and almost taboo, but you have explained that it's almost, there's a mainstream sector. There's something out there for everybody. So for the listeners who want to maybe try this, how would they get started?
So there's a lot with like the basic preservation of like, how would you clean a bone? Don't boil it. Please stop boiling your skulls.
Really?
Oh,
good
yes
tip.
So think of it, good example here. You don't feed your dog cooked bones. Why?
Right.
Because
yeah
they're brittle
they're
and
brittle
they splinter.
Yes.
That is
yes
because heat damages bones.
Okay.
So temps above about
wow
120 degrees will start to degrade bone.
I see.
So boiling, it works. If you're just getting the meat off to hang the deer skull on your shed, sure. If you want a really nice specimen that you want to pass on to your children's children, you'll want to use maceration, which is just soaking it in water. You can put in some meat tenderizer, speed it up, keep the smell down. It's the worst smell you have ever had, something
ugh
rotting in water.
Ugh.
You can use the beetles like I have. You can stick it outside under like a tarp or a box or something just to keep animals from carrying away the bones.
Mm-hmm.
You can then degrease them, get all the grease, get all the yellow gunk and stuff out of the bones. That takes quite a bit of time, but you can use things like Dawn and ammonia to do that. Then you'll want to whiten the bone. Do not use bleach. People
okay
talk about bleaching bone. Do not use like actual bleach. You want to use hydrogen peroxide.
I see. Okay, good.
The 3% from the grocery store, Walmart, whatever, that works. You can go into higher concentrations. It's just, it's a stronger chemical. Well, can give yourself some burns from that.
Look, I hope you're okay with this, but I'd like to say, if you want to reach out and learn more about this, reach out on our Facebook page, the Raised in the Woods Facebook page, and we will figure out a way to maybe connect you with Shelby, and she can give you some hints or some places to look on the internet if you want to do this, because I am so hungry. I need to get to the recipe portion of the show. I'm very excited about it. We're going to do meat and booze tonight because Megan, our sommelier, is going to talk about putting wine. Are we using wine?
We're using wine. Yeah, we're using a dry Marsala
Chef
wine.
Chef Lawton, Megan Salazar, take it away.
Okay. Megan, I'll run over the recipe and then you can talk about a cocktail to go with it.
Oh, now okay. You're throwing a curveball to Megan.
Or can you just tell us about Marsala wine?
Yeah. So okay. Marsala wine, it's almost a lot like sherry or port. Mm-hmm. It goes through the same process.
Used in cooking a lot.
Fortified. So it has a higher alcohol content, but you can really simmer that down into a syrup, which is
what we're doing.
Exactly.
Yes.
The reason why it's fortified, actually, it's, so it comes from Sicily. And as we know, all the wines that are ports and fortified, it was for shipping purposes because it helped preserve it.
Right.
So
makes sense.
Marsala is the port in Sicily, mm-hmm. and that's where it originated from.
Oh, I love that. I love history stuff like that.
History and food.
So I can't wait.
So
to try
it, we're doing pairs, a recipe
it
with
pairs it. Pairs really, really well with like Parmesan and blue cheeses and like a lot of your spicier cheeses. So I think that's why it goes so well in Italian cooking.
So we're talking about Marsala turkey.
Yes.
Ooh,
which is
it.
Awesome. So we're using our wild turkey breast. We're taking our raw wild turkey breast and we're going to slice it very thin and we're going to tenderize it a little bit. Then this is a very easy recipe. I mean,
super easy. It's almost like a base schnitzel with a gravy.
Oh, schnitzel.
I love schnitzel.
So all you're going to do is you're going to dredge the sliced tenderized turkey breast in flour. Shake off the excess. Then you're going to sear the turkey in a hot skillet about 2 to 3 minutes till it's golden. Take it out of the skillet, set it on the side, keep it warm. Then use that same pan. You're going to saute garlic, onions, and mushrooms until they're tender.
We're using morels in this one since it's spring.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. And then once those vegetables are tender, you're going to deglaze. Joel, we've talked about this.
Yes.
Deglaze the pan with that Marsala. So that's going to start a really nice, wonderful sauce. That Marsala is going to, you'll be able to scrape off kind of everything that's stuck onto the pan from the turkey and from sauteing those vegetables. Very, very easy. So then about 2 to 4 minutes, you're going to add some chicken stock or whatever stock you have. You're going to reduce that down until it kind of thickens. You'll start to see the sauce develop. Then what you're going to do is you're going to add that turkey back into the pan and you're just going to let it simmer for a few minutes. You can add a splash of cream last minute if you'd like. You season with salt and pepper, obviously. Add some fresh herbs and then plate it and eat it.
And some fresh grated Parmesan from Wisconsin.
And you could have a beautiful dandelion salad on the side.
Or asparagus you picked from Ellie's Ditch.
Yes.
That's unless that guy gets there first.
I'm beating him there this time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-mm. Honestly, Megan, you should start sleeping in my ditch.
Now, that does not sound comfortable at all. That is what I absolutely love about this. I get to turkey hunt tomorrow. The morels are starting to pop. The asparagus is about 2 weeks away. The wild watercress is going crazy in Wisconsin. The mushrooms, the pheasant backs are coming. There is no reason you cannot go into the outdoors and take your entire meal from the outdoors right now. That recipe sounds absolutely delicious.
And very easy.
And I'm very hungry and very simple. So make sure you try it. If you have questions, go to our Facebook page, Raised in the Woods. If you miss a show, go on to the civicmedia.us website and you can listen to all our shows, laugh along with us, learn with us, and please enjoy the great outdoors of the Midwest. And tell your friends about the show. We love having you along. We'll see you next week on Raised in the Woods.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.